from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Salute to Jiffy Lube. They sponsor the program. And they're going to help me get my Honda Civic to 300,000 miles.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. I want to get to a couple of these videos that have been going around, and then I'll tell you about the player I think the Kings should sign for the veteran minimum. One of the videos we're not going to get to, James, I don't know if you saw this one, the Gilbert Arenas video where he's talking about how much he hates the DeMar DeRozan trade and hates Sacramento and this and that. Gilbert Arenas gets no country here.
No.
He just does, I don't care about, like, for a decade now, I just don't give a rip what Gilbert Arenas has to say about anything. He has his podcast or whatever he does. I don't know if he does TV or I have no idea. I just don't care. Frankly, I've found that there's a lot of sentiments about Sacramento, just whether it's in the NBA or in the Bay Area or Southern California, or I lived in Arizona for a while, that are just kind of just wrong. And I think people just kind of default to hating for whatever reason. So I don't take much into account what anybody who doesn't spend a lot of time in Sacramento has to say about the city regardless. I certainly don't take it into account when it's Gilbert freaking Arenas.
Yeah, I would agree. He's a guy who literally brought two loaded guns into an NBA locker room and put them on somebody's chair. Like,
come on.
Like, the fact that he's not in the league, or his career was so short. Okay, fine. Yeah.
Yeah, I just, it's not like, you know, if Isaiah Thomas, the Kings Isaiah Thomas, came out and ripped Sacramento, I'd be like, geez, like, what the hell, man? But Gilbert Arenas doing it is, that gets nothing from me.
Well, that, and to that point, Isaiah Thomas, who is from the Seattle area, actually went to city council meetings to fight for Kings fans during the attempted relocation. If that doesn't tell you what players feel when they get to Sacramento, I don't know what would. Listen to Malik Monk's comments.
Yep.
The perception. Look at the fact that Doug Christie, Bobby Jackson, Brad Miller, Vlade Divac, Peja Stojakovic, Mike Bibby is back.
Yep.
Like the fact that all of those guys want to be here, that they come back to here. There are other players that have never moved that have always been here in Sacramento. Then we learn Kent Bazemore still lives here, still has a house here. Like, this is a place where when you are a player, when you're young, maybe it doesn't make sense to you. But as you grow and as you become, you know, as you get married and have kids and do all the things that normal people and the progression of life happen, they usually fall in love with this city and this this community, and the fans fall in love with them.
Yep.
And they all know that they don't have to buy a drink anywhere that they go the whole time that they're here or years after, because that's who they are and what they mean to the community.
That's just the truth, dog.
Indeed. Let's get to a video that I do think is interesting. Here's Courtney Cronin yesterday on Around the Horn talking about the DeMar DeRozan trade. Seriously, if you're not watching, the Chiron says Kings acquired DeRozan in 3 years, $74 million sign and trade deal. And here is Courtney Cronin of ESPN, formerly a beat writer for the Chronicle, I believe, a Warriors beat writer for the Chronicle, now covers the NFL for ESPN. Here's what she had to say.
He bought what he sell.
I'm buying that we finally know who D. Rose is, but unfortunately for Lakers fans, DeMar DeRozan is not going back to his hometown of Los Angeles that we ended up finding out from that cameo in Kendrick Lamar's Not Like Us video last week. This doesn't move the needle for me with the Sacramento Kings. They're still 21st in defensive efficiency. They haven't fixed those issues. They're not a player away. They're still in play territory. To me, this is a much bigger indictment on the Los Angeles Lakers than the state of their offseason, considering that DeMar DeRozan was one of those names that had been linked as a possible second wave signing, and he ends up going way up north.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Big time. Look, here's where I'm at on this. If you're of the mind that the DeMar DeRozan signing doesn't move the needle, okay. That's a take and an opinion, and that's fine. You can have that. I think there's a tendency, and again, we do this a lot. Not you and me necessarily, James. Just kind of the royal we. Well, I don't want to put this on you. I do this. And I think a lot of people do, where you kind of take everything the national media says and you want your team to get this coverage on national media. And it's like, I've said this before and I'll say it again. I promise you don't. Because it's on shows like Around the Horn. And again, Around the Horn, you get points for coming up with different like angles to a topic. And so if they had already covered the DeMar DeRozan thing from the Kings angle, and Courtney Cronin's like, hey, I'm going to get points for talking about the Lakers here. Then okay, like, fine. I don't even mind that. But this is why, like, when I have said before, like, I promise you don't want the national media talking about your favorite team. This is why. Because it's just not going to be, I promise she hasn't done a deep dive on the Kings roster at all. And that's fine. Like, she has another job. She covers the NFL for ESPN and she does a great job. But it's not, the Kings aren't her bag. It's not her job. And the goal on the network, sorry, James, and the goal on the network is like, hey, get the Lakers up there as much as possible because they're going to draw the most eyeballs.
No, I totally get that. But I'm just confused why DeRozan, the Lakers losing DeRozan is a big deal. And the Kings getting DeRozan is not a big deal. And for me, I mean, like, look, you can have a take, but have your take be logical,
sure,
at least somewhat, you know. And that's sort of the problem that I see with that conversation. You know, again, I don't know why you have to bring up Kendrick Lamar. I don't know why you have to bring up the Lakers at all when you're talking about a 3 year. Like, how about you give the Kings some props for going out and getting the best free agent that they've signed in at least 25 years and possibly ever.
Right.
Now it's a sign and trade, so it's a little different, but that doesn't change the fact of what it is.
Yeah.
And DeRozan is a very, very good player. And to quote one stat, which she used defensive efficiency, which is something that I only find on ESPN, as opposed to defensive rating or where the Kings finished, 14th in the league? They were
exactly
8th in the final month of the season.
Exactly.
Like, there are so many other avenues that you could have, you know, if you wanted to be logical and do the research on this, that would have made sense. I just think, like, the Kings are low-hanging fruit, and she disrespected even the low-hanging fruit. She just tried to go out and get points for the high reaching fruit that she's not, you know, capable of reaching.
Yeah. And that's just it. I don't know exactly how prep for Around the Horn works, But I'm guessing they get a list of topics and you need to come up with 20 seconds or however long you get to talk. Come up with 15 or 20 seconds and do what you can to, you know, you want to score points and rack up points, which are just given willy-nilly, which is fine. I love Around the Horn, by the way. This is not to diss the show. But yeah, no, it's clear she went, okay, let's see, DeMar DeRozan to the Kings. Don't really have a take. Let's see, what were the Kings, that doesn't help their defense. What were they in defensive efficiency last year? Let's go to ESPN. Okay, 21st, that's the take. And that's just, and so I get why, like you said, I totally understand, like that's a, it's like just, it's just, it's a short take. It was like, here's this because I want to get to this Lakers thing. Because she's on ESPN. And if you've watched ESPN for 10 minutes at any point during a non-live sporting event, during basketball season or during the NBA offseason, you know that the Lakers are going to come up. Like that's just, whether they're the 9 seed, the 10 seed, the 1 seed, the 12 seed, it just doesn't matter. Like they're going to come up in some way. And this is where I've said this before. James, you've said it before. I know D'Lo and KC have said it. This is why when you want Kings talk, that's why you come to ESPN 1320. It's why you read the Kings beat. That's where you want to go. And that's why you can't rely on it. It would be really cool if everybody on ESPN went, yeah, love the DeMar DeRozan signing for the Kings. And wow, look at that. They're going to be a top three team in the West. And that'd be really nice to hear. That doesn't make that any more true either, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, yeah, you want to hear good things about your team and then you don't. It's because she, like, that's not her bag. That's not anybody on that show's bag. And that's where it's like, I don't have it in me to, again, this is no disrespect to Courtney Corona. She does such a great job covering the NFL. She did a great job covering the Warriors. I don't care because she's not here. She's not watching. That's not an opinion that I care about.
Yeah. I want you to send that opinion to some people that I know. Like, to be honest, the want to chase national media coverage, it doesn't really move the needle for anyone, because this is what you get half the time, and half the time you get, someone will still bring up Vivek Ranadive and the 5-on-4 basketball with the cherry picker,
mm-hmm.
like in the national media, as if that's something that Vivek is pushing right now.
Right.
You know, they'll still bring that stuff up all the time. And it's like, look, like they have a limited scope of what they understand about the team, the franchise, the players, what's happening, salary cap, how many picks they have, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And very few people have the understanding and knowledge that you're going to find from, someone like myself, someone like Sean Cunningham, someone like Jason Anderson. Yep. Like we're a very knowledgeable group. And even, our other friends, Brennan Nunes and Frankie Cardicelli, guys who are there every day that do the job,
mm-hmm.
you're going to find a lot more depth and understanding from that.
Yeah.
From that group than you are from guys on the national stage that, and if I miss anybody in that group, sorry, Matt George and Jake Aiden and like just name that just that start, person in Sacramento media. I don't want to be a jerk.
If
and,
you
like,
cover the Kings, we're talking about you.
yeah. Deuce and Mo. Like I if I'm missing somebody, sorry that it wasn't intentional, but you get a lot more depth of understanding from the people that are there all the time. And you also have this little thing hiding that we know a lot more than what we can say and than what we have said. And so there's even more depth to what we understand.
Yeah, man. I know, like I said, I understand why people want to see their favorite team talked about nationally. I totally get it. It's a super fun thing. But that's the downside to it, is you're going to get people who don't cover the team giving their thoughts. And that's fine. That's her job. And again, I'm not begrudging her. She does a wonderful job covering the NFL. I'm not going to go to Courtney Cronin for a Kings take.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
I'm with you.
Yeah. All right. Hey, that took longer than I thought I was going to. Let's get into good idea or bad idea. And I've still got the player that I think the Kings need to go sign for the minimum. We'll talk about it next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, it is. That's James. He's over there. I'm Kyle. I'm right here. We're hanging out with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off. No D-Lo, just KC today. Kenny and friends will be here from noon to 4, rocking with you on ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader. All right. We've got good idea or bad idea. We do this each and every day. At least each and every day that we're on the air and together. James and I aren't just randomly texting about good idea or bad ideas. We do this on the air every day that we do a show together. We pick three things that are happening, and we decide if those things are a good idea or bad idea. James, if you're looking at the rundown, I'm going to do these the opposite way that I wrote them down.
Okay.
Because I got a couple basketball ones and a non-basketball one. I'm going to do non-basketball up top. A good idea or bad idea? Greg Berhalter has still not been fired as the U.S. men's national team manager.
That's a bad idea.
It's insane that he wasn't gone the day after they lost in the group stage of Copa America.
Yeah, I mean, you have other things coming up, don't you? Where, like, he's going to have to coach. I think it's a bad idea. At this point, I think, like, I hate saying this, but, like, almost anyone would be better. Even if they were just to do an interim for the rest. I just, like, watching the team play, it feels like the room is lost. Bad idea not to to move off of him. And, you know, there are some good coaches that might be willing to take this team, especially a lot of guys overseas.
Yep.
And just, like, go ahead and do something here. It's not working.
Yeah. Crazy. Number two, Anthony Edwards. I don't think we got to talk about this a lot yesterday. Said that he was the number one option for Team USA on a team with LeBron James and Kevin Durant and Steph Curry and pick a star. They are on the team. Anthony Edwards says he is the number one option. Good idea or bad idea to say that out loud?
It's probably a bad idea because I think Team USA, the way they're constructed, they have like 17 number one options and they all should feel that they're the number one option.
Sure.
If he leads the league in the team in points, that's fine. But just so he knows and everyone else knows, the second that they get into a game that's dicey at all, you're going to see the usual suspects on the court.
Yes.
The guys that have won it before, the guys that are going to be there holding up the gold at the end, and the guys that we will think of with that dream team mentality like years down the road. So this is the last hurrah for a lot of these guys. So maybe when you're playing in group stages, Anthony Edwards will be the number one option. But outside of that, man, Steph is going to be a number one option for a couple of games. LeBron, AD, like KD, if he's able
Jason
to play.
Tatum.
Yeah, you name it. They're going to be a number one option.
Yeah, I think it's actually a good idea that Anthony Edwards maintains this level of swagger and confidence even in this setting.
Yeah,
this is not Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert and Jaden McDaniels and Mike Conley, and he is just the cream of the crop, number one, obviously. Because in that case, he definitely is, and I don't think anyone's denying it. But on this USA team, you're right. Like he's probably going to be there eventually. I imagine in the next Olympics, actually, he will probably be their top guy with the way things are trending. But I actually kind of appreciate that he still carries that with him into this camp with all these great players. And he's like, yeah, no, I'm the number one guy. Everybody knows it. All right, Ant. Hell yeah. You keep that.
Yeah. You love his confidence. That's for sure.
Last one. And I'm really interested. I was going to ask you about this via text. And then I decided that I didn't want to know your answer because I want to know it now.
Is it even better that I haven't even looked at the list? So go ahead.
Oh, this perfect. Is all no good.
I have no idea what's coming.
Great. Good idea or bad idea? The first and second aprons in the NBA.
I think it's a good idea. And I know it's painful. And as someone who is watching Kings fans like so confused by all of this, like it's complex and everything else. But this is a way to level the playing field.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the Warriors paid, I think it was like $174 million or $168 million in luxury tax last year.
Yeah, they basically paid the salary cap in luxury tax.
Yeah, I mean, their luxury tax bill was higher than the Kings salary by a long shot, by like $20 million. And that's not even considering that they had another $200 million that went out in salary. But the new rules that are now in place, that bill would have been like $230 million. And so the league is trying to balance itself. And I appreciate that. Parity is good. Parity in the NFL is what like it makes the league thrive. Everyone has a shot on opening week. And maybe 6 weeks in, you know, you have your usual suspects who's starting to like rise to the top. But overall, like the NBA doesn't typically have that type of parity. And, you know, teams like the Kings can miss the playoffs for 16 consecutive years because they can't. Number one, they can't spend like everyone else because they don't make as much.
Right.
And then on top of that, you know, you have this stigma that so maybe you don't want to go there because they're a losing franchise or whatever. So it takes a lot to change like the culture and who you are and what you're trying to build. And so, yeah, I think the first apron, second apron, like it just makes it more interesting. And I think everything will balance out once the money starts flooding in from the new television contracts and you won't feel as like squished, like as like constricted by the cap. But for right now, I think it's a good thing that some of these teams are unfortunately dying off and we're going to have to see the next generation of teams step forward.
Yeah, I think in the long run, I think it'll be a good idea. But the fact that you've got guys like Tyus Jones still out there not signed, and then you have a player like Caleb Martin getting, I think, what did he get, 4-32 from the Sixers. And I think the Heat had offered him like 5-65, and his agent told him, apparently, to not take it. And he winds up getting 4-32. It feels like that like middle ground of the NBA. You have like the stars and then you have the vet minimum guys. It feels like the guys in the middle there kind of got crushed a little bit. And I don't know if that's just a product of teams who were like up against the aprons trying to get back down for now, or if this is just going to be a permanent thing where the middle class or the upper middle class of the NBA just kind of starts to die off a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question, Kyle. You know, I think every time we see a rule change like this, that the league does have this issue that it like it does impact a certain group more than it does another.
Mm-hmm.
But I think also the first, the second apron, it's the reason why the Kings were able to just get DeMar DeRozan on a 3-year, $74 million deal or whatever it is. Like it is, it's the reason why. And, but you can also look at it and you can point at the Philadelphia 76ers who just gave Paul George, who's barely younger than DeMar DeRozan and who has much larger injury history, like a $200 million deal. And it's why the Clippers are taking a bath and, you know, will not be the same team they were last year. It's why the Golden State Warriors just lost Klay Thompson and lost Chris Paul. This is what happens when you institute rules to try to balance the playing field.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping that this isn't a permanent thing, and I'm hoping that it's just a matter of teams kind of adjusting on the fly with the aprons being implemented this year. But I think overall, I think in the long term, it's going to be a good idea.
I hope so, too. And I know Tyler Jennings in the chat, new aprons will hurt continuity for teams that draft well. No, I think what it might do is it might make teams more realistic about what their players might be worth. So as opposed to just giving every rookie a maximum salary, maybe you don't do that. Maybe you have like honest discussions about who you are and where you are in the grand scheme of the NBA. And maybe you're a $22 million player, not a $32 million player. And maybe we need to adjust accordingly. And so maybe there will be a balancing of it.
I hope so. I need someone to sign Tyus Jones, preferably a good team. I like Tyus. I want to see him cook.
Yeah, I mean, guys like Gary Trent are just hanging out there. Guys like Sadiq Bey is out for a good portion. Tough. I mean, he tore his ACL in like March, so he's going to miss a bunch of time. But that's even, you know, if you're a team like the Kings and you might have a way to slide like a two-year $5 million deal to a player who's injured, maybe that's a way that you go out and you add a piece that isn't going to be ready for a couple of months, but in a couple of months, you might have something.
You think you'd take a veteran minimum?
Probably not, but he probably would take the biannual. You know, well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's still looking for big money, but you know, you're talking about a guy who's going to miss a good portion of the season. Maybe he just waits until he's healthy and signs a 1 year finish the season deal, show he's healthy. But yeah, it's complicated.
No doubt. Fingers crossed for Tyus Jones. I'm rooting for him and Gary Trent. It's crazy that, that he still doesn't have a team. All right. We got a final segment coming up. I think Casey's coming in for the handoff. That's coming up in about 15 minutes. 20 minutes. And we still have a trade to talk about, and then we still have a free agent that I think the Kings could go sign. We'll talk about that next. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We make up the insiders. And we're on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports City.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, it sure is. He's James. I'm Kyle, rocking with you until noon. Then Kenny Caraway will be here. No D'Lo. D'Lo out this week, but KC is rocking with you, I'm sure. I can't wait to get his thoughts on the DeMar DeRozan addition. We've been talking additional moves for the Kings. We did a bunch of DeMar DeRozan yesterday, so trying to spin it forward, what could be next? And you have said that, hey, they're still out, they're still working behind the scenes, they're still trying to get some other moves done. One player that so we have a player I like, and then we got a trade idea from The Athletic. What do you think about KJ Martin? Goes about 6'6", really good athlete, can play the two or the three. In his first 3 years with Houston, averaged 10.5 points, 4.8 boards, 1.3 assists, shot 54.5% from the field. He was 34% from three, so not great there. Really fell off last season with the Clippers and the 76ers. I think he's probably available for the vet men. Your thoughts?
Yeah, see, I think KJ Martin is the type of player the Kings need. If you were to go out and make that deal, so he can play the small. He can also, despite the fact that he's not very tall, mm-hmm. he can shift over and play the four as well. 6'6", mm-hmm. 215. And that's what I talk about, like when I bring up Malik Monk and like finding a lob threat. Like KJ Martin could easily be a lob threat. Yeah. Like the way that he plays, the way that he attacks the rim. I've always thought that that he's a player that the type of player, like we talk about this all the time. The Kings lack that super athlete in the post. The guy that like all of a sudden will just put somebody on a poster, mm-hmm. and that's okay because the Kings, like when you sometimes like some of the trade out that they do is they do high super high IQ basketball players who can shoot, mm-hmm. versus like super athletes. And it's not that there aren't super athletes that are also high basketball IQ players. There are, but like that's kind of where they go. They look for shooters and guys who can pass, guys who are multi-positional. But I do like that idea. It's the same thing I brought up with like the Brandon Brandon Clark, mm-hmm. You know, the Jared Vanderbilts of the world. Like there are a lot of players and that are around the league that make sense that do what I'm talking about. You know, look at how much Naz Reid has impacted the Minnesota Timberwolves, and yeah. It's really tough to find another Naz Reid. But that's the type of player that the Kings could use.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm right there with you. KJ Martin definitely plays bigger than 6'6". Mm-hmm. I just, when you talk about wing depth and athleticism, I think that's the kind of player that you'd feel good about at the end of your bench. I don't know that he's giving you like 25 minutes a night or anything, but as a veteran minimum option, I think that's the direction I would go for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan. Sam Vecenie and the Athletic also had a trade idea that you brought to my attention this morning, where the Kings would be going out and getting kind of a little bit in this vein as a front court mate for Domantas Sabonis, going and getting Isaiah Stewart from the Detroit Pistons. Was it Kevin Herter in that deal?
Yes, that's what he proposed, just I'm like so kind of spitballing.
I'm so in on that.
Yeah, yeah.
I would do that so quick.
The problem, Isaiah Stewart, he's a small center. He's a 6'8" power forward / center. But the fact that he shoots 38.3% from three, he can get you block shots. He averaged 1.3 blocks as a rookie playing center position, 1.1 in his second season. Only 0.8 last year, but again, as you added minutes, he played, he blocked less shots, which is always interesting. A decent rebounder for his minutes played. I like him, but he is coming off injury, and he is a player who I think is on a 3-year, I think he's got 3 years at 15 mil a year, or it's possible it's 4 years at 15 mil a year. Yeah.
I'm in, dude. He's a dog. I'm all about Isaiah Stewart. Yeah.
Yeah.
And anytime
he's owed, it's a 460. It's a 460. He's owed $15 million on the button every year.
Give me that every time. The Kings have and this is not, again, this is not anti Kevin Herter. It is the Kings have a bunch of guards. Who fits, mm-hmm. who doesn't. I think Kevin Herter is probably the odd man out. And if you can go get Isaiah Stewart, who is a player that you'd feel great about being a big off the bench for you, who could start at the four or the five if Keegan Murray or Domantas Sabonis or whoever else is unavailable. I am so in on that idea. I love
it. Yeah. And Luke, I think that there are other players out there that could make sense. And someone brings up like Robert Covington. I don't think Jay Crowder has a home yet. Like there are players out there that could be enforcers for this team, mm-hmm. that could actually play in your rotation that are still available, that are just older. That might make sense.
And this is a good example of the way the calculus has shifted for what the Kings need. Mm-hmm. Because before they got DeMar DeRozan, we were talking about Kyle Kuzma and Brandon Ingram and Lauri Markkanen. And I guess you could still talk about Kuzma and Markkanen, but we'll table that for a second. But now all of a sudden that need for the extra wing or the wing depth can be Robert Covington, who's primarily going to be a defensive focused player, and he can shoot a three. Same thing with Jay Crowder, where the offensive output necessary from them is commensurate with what they're going to give you. Mm-hmm. It's not, Jay Crowder, and let's hope that he can give you a career year on offense. No, he's going to be an enforcer. He's going to be a reserve big when you play against LeBron James or Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown or whoever. Like, pick your big wing. He can go give you real minutes on them and do so credibly.
Well, that, and I think it's about finding players that, number one, when the Kings brought in DeMar DeRozan, he instantly became like their third best player. And now your second, your first two, you know who they are, but your fourth and your fifth, you're not sure who they are. It's either Keegan Murray or it's Malik Monk, but that's a good thing. You just, like, those guys slot into better positions there. And now you start looking at your sixth best player, your seventh best player, your eighth best player. But also, when you look at some of these guys, you're looking at, where is Jalen McDaniels in all this, and can you find players that are better than him that can slot above him?
Yeah.
So it's complicated, but it's all a big puzzle.
You broke my heart this morning when you informed me that Trendon Watford had signed his tender with the Nets and would be returning to Brooklyn. I loved Trendon Watford as the small ball five. I was all about it.
Yeah, sorry about that,
And then you went, no, sir. He is no longer available. Like, literally, when I wrote this down last night, he was available. And then by the time I got into the rundown this morning, he was no longer available. But like you said, there's now a ton more options out there for Sacramento and players who can help them in different ways where they don't need to be these offensive juggernauts, because they have the four guys that you feel really, really good about offensively, maybe even five guys that you feel really good about offensively, giving you between 15 and 25 points a night. And that puts you in a pretty good spot on that side of the ball. We have a new 98 Rock morning guy named Paul. Huge fan. Love him. Great dude. I'm sitting there this morning. We've interacted a little bit. Particularly at our field day, just pleasantries, just coworkers chopping it up.
And Paul was not one of the tragic members of our staff that broke fingers and needs surgery this week, which there were multiple.
Salute to those coworkers. We appreciate them. But I'm sitting there and I'm doing the rundown, like I normally do. We have a table here with a bench. And I sit on that bench, and I'm James, you usually sit across from me, and we get our work done. And as he's walking by from getting his coffee, he just goes, and I appreciate this. This is great. I'm a sports guy. When people just want to let their sports takes rip, give them to me every time, dude. And he goes, Bronny James is the most overhyped basketball player since LeBron James. And I went, huh. Let's unpack this, because there's a lot there.
There's a lot there.
There's right. Like let's start with Bronny James being overhyped. Let's just start with the front end of his statement. I don't think Bronny James is overhyped. I think he gets talked about a lot, but I haven't heard a single person be like, wow, this is the player that's gonna get he's the next LeBron James. I haven't heard any of that. I've heard no overhyping of his basketball prowess.
I don't know how many high school games they put on ESPN of Bronny James. I do think that there was at least one or two, but LeBron all of a sudden became like a national phenomenon where everyone was watching his high school games on like the mothership.
It's insane.
Like, yeah. And I would say this, for as much as LeBron James was hyped, and he was so hyped, I don't think there's ever been a moment where he's been overhyped, because he's lived up to every single bit of it. It's tough, right?
That's the second piece of this. Like, overhyped since LeBron. Overhyped? The guy is at even the biggest hater makes him a top five player of all time.
Well, he's top three, and I'm not a hater, but I still have my top one and two. He's number three.
Sure.
But still, I mean, like, I still respect. I mean, how many times did he go to the finals?
Like 11, 12?
It's something ridiculous. It's a lot. It's a lot.
Is he 4-7, 4-8, whatever he is? It's ludicrous. And he's played at a high level for as long as he has, and he's the all-time scoring leader, and he's going to finish like top 10 in assists, and he's just he's been ridiculous. He got tabbed as the next Michael Jordan and got reasonably close. Even if you say
so
he's not.
Close.
Even if you say he's not. Like, I don't want to get into the who's better, LeBron, Jordan, all that. I don't. But like I said, even the most like ardent, not a LeBron guy person, like you have to objectively say he's one of the single greatest players to ever lace up shoes in the NBA.
Yep.
Like, I thought that was, if he had said Bronny James is overhyped, it would have been like, no, okay, I get that. He gets a lot of coverage. I don't think people are saying he's some kind of NBA savior or anything, or that he's even necessarily going to be a good NBA player. But, you know, I get it. It's a lot of coverage. It's a ton of coverage. But the reason there's a ton of coverage on it is because he is one of the greatest players of all time, kid, and he plays on his team.
Oh, yeah.
That's the undercurrent of all this. LeBron James was in the NBA long enough to have his son drafted to the team that he's playing for. That's crazy.
I mean, this is Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr. playing together.
But like if Ken Griffey Sr. was Shohei Ohtani.
Yes, or if it was Willie Mays and Willie Mays Jr. I don't know that there was a Willie Mays Jr., but that's what it would be the equivalent of.
Right. I so deeply appreciate that Paul and I are close enough now that when he sees me sitting there in the morning, he's going to let his takes rip, even if I disagree with all of it. There's not a single piece of the take that I agreed with.
Yeah, I would just say that, like, the Bronny thing, he's super hyped, and it's unfortunate for him because living up to this, any of it, it's going to be, like, almost impossible. Living up to, like, being on an NBA roster might be more than he can handle at this point.
Sure.
Like, I don't know that he can live up to being on an NBA roster for more than one or two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he develops. Maybe he becomes like this really, really solid, gritty player that sticks in the league for a long time.
Yeah.
But that's the possibility here. It's not that like the Lakers like got a sleeper future, Hall of Famer in the second round. That just happens to be LeBron James's son.
Yeah.
So it's really, really, really tough to live up to if you're Bronny. And I feel for him because that's never like the whole father-son thing. Sabonis might be one of the best father-son, players of all time.
Ooh.
Like the duo. Like, you got Dell and you got, Steph, but Sabonis, Arvydas Sabonis was a much better player than Dell. But we're looking at like there's a very few players that
there's
their
Michael
kids
and
are
Clay.
Able. Yeah. There's
I know
a
there's
lot.
A bunch. Anthony Carter and Devin Carter, obviously.
Yep. Yeah.
Didn't Kobe's dad play in the NBA?
Yeah, but for like a minute, he played a lot of time in Italy.
Mm. Yeah, it's just, I don't think Bronny is going
berries.
To get them. Oh, yeah, all of them. I don't think Bronny is going to get them into that conversation. And I think that's interesting, the idea of him being overhyped, because, like, I get the coverage at, dude, the coverage after the Kings beat the brakes off the Lakers in that first Cal Classic game was ridiculous. ESPN's homepage. And again, this is ESPN. This is they are trying to maximize their eyeballs, and the Lakers maximize eyeballs. That's what their analytics tell them. That's why they talk about the Lakers all the time. But their front page was a still shot of Bronny scoring with the score underneath it, which was like the Kings 190, Lakers 40. And then it was three different videos of Bronny doing things. It was like Bronny scoring, Bronny steps on the court for the first time, Bronny gets his first bucket, LeBron James reacts to Bronny getting his first bucket. It's like, dude, like, okay, if we get, it's really cool. But that's what's getting beat over my head, I feel like. Not necessarily that Bronny is some awesome player, but just that, like, yeah, no, we get it. LeBron's kid is on the Lakers. We've gotten all the first. Oh, there was another. Bronny's first press conference, first post-game press conference. It's like, dude, this is it's legitimately like he's being covered like everybody else's child. Like we need video of his first steps, and oh, we need video of his first this and that, or and I get it.
They
like
gone full Facebook on us.
Yeah, dude, and I don't begrudge that. This is not to begrudge parents who do that. Like shout out, salute, be proud. I love it. Do that. But that's legitimately how Bronny James has been covered, and I think that's kind of wild. Like that's a crazy thing to me. Hey, Kenny,
it's tough because he just has no way to live up to it.
Okay. Yeah, no, good. Kenny's here. Your glasses are sick. I'm so jealous. He's coming in for the handoff for sure. I forgot to log into that computer today because I forgot you were coming in, and I was like, oh, he's going to be sitting over here. So that's my bad. So Kenny will be here in a second for the handoff. And we'll get his DeMar DeRozan reactions. Yeah, no, we appreciate that. He'll get signed in here, and he will be joining us for the handoff, which we do every single day. It'll just be a no D-Lo this week. Damian Barling on vacation. Kenny Caraway going to be with you from noon to 4. Kenny, I'm going to fill you in on this.
Okay.
Just so you know what we're talking about. Yeah. New 98 Rock Morning Show guy this morning.
Yeah, yeah. Good guy.
While I'm sitting, yeah, huge fan of his. While I'm sitting there this morning, just walks by, drive-by take, by the way, didn't stop. He eventually stopped when I responded, but he was going to go drive-by take. Just as he's walking by me, he goes, Bronny James is the most overhyped basketball player since LeBron James. It's like, dang, that's some heat.
It's tough.
It's like, take that to 98 Rock with you. Here's Kenny Caraway. It's time for the handoff. The handoff could be sponsored by you.
Yeah, man.
If you wanted to. Your thoughts. Is Bronny James the most overhyped player since LeBron?
The most overhyped player since LeBron? Nah, I don't think so. I don't think he's like really. I mean, there's a lot of attention on him and overhyped. But I don't know if anybody is like, maybe I'm going too literal with the word overhyped. But nobody's saying he's like this great basketball player.
That's it.
They're just kind of talking about how he got into the league and his dad and all this other stuff. So I wouldn't say overhyped, but he's definitely covered, you know, more than your average second year guy or undrafted guy. That's for sure. You can't deny that. But I don't think he's overhyped, man.
Let's put a pin in all the Lakers stuff. DeMar DeRozan.
Hey, man. Come on now. Come on now. We got one. Yeah, man. I like that. I like that a lot. I feel good about it. I feel good about the prospects of this team as is.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about it a little bit more on the show, but as is, I feel good about this team. I know James reported, you know, they're still possibly not done. They're still trying to work some things out, see if they can make something happen. But and that would be great, too. But if they weren't able to, I feel good about this team as is, man. I think that was a really good move. I think that offense is going to be dynamic. It's going to be maybe a little different than we're used to as far as like the threes and stuff like that.
Yeah. But
getting another shot creator in there is going to greatly help out everybody involved. And then just kind of moving everybody down a tier, right? Like so Bonus was your second scorer, right? He's probably not your second scorer in an ideal situation. Probably more of your third scorer because you don't like give him the ball and tell him to go to work. He might be
Monk, DeRozan, or Fox, DeRozan, Monk in some order.
Yeah, yeah, and the great thing about that is when I say that's not what Sabonis does. Is Sabonis can be your quote unquote fourth option and still get you 17 and
13, no doubt.
You know what I mean? Because he just works. You know what I mean? He works, you know, somebody dishing off to him. He's there in the dunker spot. He works on the boards. He gets fouled. He goes to the line. So I don't think his production is going to slip much at all. Maybe 1 or 2 points, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But that, his looks aren't going to be affected by DeRozan and even Monk possibly being in that starting lineup.
James, I know you got a presser to go cover. So go do that. We appreciate you. See you tomorrow.
You the man, James.
See you guys tomorrow.
James Hammer, everybody. Beyond, be back with the insiders 10 to noon mañana.
10 to noon.
When I first got wind that like, hey, this is the thing that's going on, my gut reaction, like I talked about this yesterday, I was walking down the stairs reading my phone, and I was like, ew, like this is just, that feels so desperate. That feels like a move just to like, oh gosh, Markkanen, no, Ingram, no, whatever happened with Kuzma, DeMar DeRozan, yeah. That's how like my initial read on it. But then just kind of the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, man, they did need a shot creator. That'll help there. Well, you know, Keegan still shoots threes. De'Aaron Fox is more of a high volume three guy now. I think he can fit the two or the three. He's not a bad defender. He's just not. And I think I got.
I'm sorry. But nobody even talking about his defense till he just got here. Nobody, the Ringer, all these people, there was nobody talking about DeRozan's defense till 2 days ago. Then, oh, well, you know, he's not that good of a defender. And shut the hell up. None of y'all was talking about his defense. Now all of a sudden that's a problem. Stop. Sorry.
You good?
I'm good.
No, I do think that's super funny though. That whenever it was DeRozan to the Clippers or the Lakers, and it was all about like, oh man, if he, DeRozan, that's where he's gonna go. He's going home, right? He's going to one of the LA teams.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Kings sign him. And it's like, what does he do for their defense? I mean, honestly. Look, I get there's two sides of the ball, and I appreciate and respect that. I appreciate what Keon Ellis did for the Kings last year.
Yes.
I think putting Keon Ellis in the starting lineup was a plus the way the games were called, but more so Keon being in the starting lineup, I think, dramatically altered the way the Kings played defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if Malik Monk stays healthy, I think it's a key reason why they go to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to underestimate the importance of that. But I also don't want to overestimate the importance of a single player. Look, if he was just, dude, can't guard a stoplight. Like, he is just a non-factor. He's going to give up more points than he scores. This is a net negative for the game. Then, okay.
Mm.
But, bro, he is not. It is not. You have to be so bad at defense
mm-hmm.
to be good enough offensively or to mean not. For me to discount what he's going to give them offensively.
Mm. Mm. Facts.
And what are they going to do defensively? I don't know. Figure it out, probably.
Just they'll be fine. Where they end up being like 15 this year, they'll probably be around there again this year. Go ahead.
The big thing with defense, and I said this going into last year for the Kings,
mm-hmm.
because you talked about it when you and I got in a discussion on D'Lo and KC about how the Kings needed to improve their defense. That was a problem against the Warriors and this and that. It's like, can you get a stop in crunch time?
Mm.
Down the stretch, mm-hmm. you have four dudes now who you feel good about. Ball in their hands, they're going to go get you a bucket.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But can you get that stop down the stretch? And I think with De'Aaron Fox, I think with Keegan Murray, I think DeRozan will be, like I said, I don't think he's a negative defender. You can put Keon out there if you really need to in a closing lineup.
Right.
And you feel really good about your ability to like, hey, we're going to go bucket for bucket. We're going to get the one stop we need to win this one.
Facts. 100%.
That's where
100%, man. I'm with you. Kyle is turning into me right here. His defense doesn't matter. He's turning into me. I've talked.
It matters. I've worked on this situation
for a while, and now Kyle is turning into me. Defense doesn't matter. That's a misnomer about me too, by the way. Yeah. Defense does matter, but you got to get buckets.
It's a little overblown. You got to go get a bucket.
Absolutely.
Kenny Caraway coming up next. No D'Lo, just Kenny. You got friends coming in?
Kenny and friends coming in, we'll be having that DeMar DeRozan press conference live on the show as well.
Can't wait.
I'm glad D-Rose came home. Hey. That didn't deserve him either.
This has been The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. KC, hey. Coming up next on ESPN 1320. James and I will be back with you tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Until then, drink water and be nice to people. Bye.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78 million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.